This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of December 30th, 2018. Welcome. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. I hope you had a very Merry Christmas and here's to a Happy New Year. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this edition, the Big Deal feature, a look at 2018's predictions, and some of the top stories from the Breaker.News podcast in 2018. And I will award a virtual Nanaimo bar to those who deserve it. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. It's the end of 2018, a year that meant more forest fires in the summertime for British Columbians. It was the year that we all became owners of the Trans Mountain Pipeline Project, thanks to Justin Trudeau. There was political turnover in never-before-seen numbers at the municipal level across British Columbia. There were barge fires and even runaway barges. An electoral reform referendum failed, and a river otter raided the koi pond at the Sun Yat-sen Garden in Chinatown. At the start of the year, I took a trip into the Breaker's crystal ball to make some fearless predictions. Believe it or not, some came true. So, how did we do in the 2018 crystal ball? In civic politics, the crystal ball tells us that instead of facing certain defeat in the October civic election, Vancouver Mayor Gregor Robertson will step aside. Well, 3 days after the first podcast of 2018 was published, Vancouver Mayor Gregor Robertson announced he would not run for a fourth term. Robertson's Vision Vancouver party waffled until it finally acclaimed Squamish Nation's Ian Campbell as the candidate for mayor. Campbell quit in September before the campaign period when word came that he had not told the party about a stayed domestic violence charge from 2010. Burnaby South NDP Member of Parliament Kennedy Stewart was the Labour-backed independent who edged the NPA's Ken Sim by less than 1,000 votes to win on October 20th. Vision was left with one school board trustee. The NPA now has a plurality on city council with 5 seats. The daughter or son of a prominent Chinese government official will be arrested after an incident at a nightclub in Vancouver. The Big China scandal? Well, it didn't involve a nightclub, but it did involve Meng Wanzhou, the daughter of the founder of Huawei. Meng, who is the telecom's chief financial officer, was arrested December 1st at Vancouver International Airport on a U.S. warrant. The U.S. wants her extradited to face fraud charges. She is living in Dunbar on bail. Pussy Riot will grab headlines for an embarrassing protest against Vladimir Putin at the Russia 2018 FIFA World Cup tournament. Pussy Riot? Well, it did in fact protest on field during France's win over Croatia in the World Cup final in Moscow, much to the displeasure of Putin. That was easier to predict than a France versus Croatia final. So how about 2019? Well, here are some predictions. As I walk into the crystal ball. Here we are. So first prediction, according to the crystal ball that I'm inside right now, says a politician in British Columbia will be charged with corruption in 2019, thus spurring more calls for a public inquiry. Well, BC Premier John Horgan will let the courts take care of it first. And in federal politics, a federal party will change its leader before the October 2019 election. But the Trudeau Liberals will be re-elected, albeit as a minority government. You've heard it here first. That's according to The Breaker's crystal ball. Instead of being impeached, U.S. President Donald Trump will quit the White House, and he'll divorce Melania. She'll get the Trump Tower. He'll get Mar-a-Lago. The Trans Mountain Pipeline that we now own, well, the Trans Mountain Pipeline will get the go-ahead again. And that'll start a new wave of protests and a new wave of court actions. But when construction does get started, it'll be quickly stopped after workers accidentally cause a forest fire. And in the ongoing campaign of revenge after Canada arrested Huawei CFO Meng Wanzhou, China will persuade tourists to avoid Canada, and Huawei will back out of its Hockey Night in Canada sponsorship. So there you go. You heard it here first. Those are our predictions for 2019 on the Breaker.News podcast. Now, can someone tell me how to get out of this crystal ball? Hello? Hello? Continuing with the look back at 2018 on the Breaker.News podcast, many of the big stories that we featured in 2018 involved China, either in the foreground or in the background. Huawei Chief Financial Officer Meng Wanzhou's arrest was the top international story out of Vancouver in 2018, with business, technology, and geopolitical ramifications that could last for years. The United States wants to try her for fraud, but it may take years before her extradition. Premier John Horgan visited China in January and February with Ministers Bruce Ralston and George Chow. In May, Horgan spoke at the 9th International Congress of the Guangdong Community Federation in Vancouver, and that convention included a top Communist Party official who is involved in the country's United Front Foreign Influence Program. Politburo member Wang Chen led a two-dozen-strong delegation in June. It was the biggest high-level visit from China to BC since 2005, when President Hu Jintao visited. Unbang Insurance, the owner of Bentall Towers and the Retirement Concepts chain of senior homes, was taken over by the central government of China. Chairman Wu Chaohui was charged with fraud and jailed for 18 years. The downtown Vancouver office complex is now for sale. The long-awaited report about dirty money in Metro Vancouver's casinos was published June 27th. Former RCMP Commissioner for Western Canada, Peter German, detailed how Chinese gangs infiltrated BC casinos and real estate to launder money. Surprisingly, Attorney General David Eby did not make any management changes at the BC Lottery Corporation.
First for David, how do you have confidence in keeping Jim Lightbody as CEO of BC Lottery Corporation and John Mazur as head of the Gambling Policy Enforcement Branch when they knew or ought to have known what was going on but didn't do enough?
So there were multiple reports that went to government. The 2011 report was authored by the BC Lottery Corporation that said that there was money laundering taking place in casino. I assign responsibility in this matter to the previous administration. They had many opportunities to take the action that we took in the first months of our government to say that unless you can prove the source of the cash you're bringing into the casino, it's not welcome. They also had the MNP report, which I released on coming into office, that had basically exactly that recommendation in it as well. So it's not like people weren't aware. It's not like government wasn't notified. In my opinion, the responsibility is with government to provide the direction, and the role of the Crown is to implement that policy.
In October's civic election, Richmond Mayor Malcolm Brody overcame a major challenge to win his seventh term. A Richmond-based organization, the Canada Wenzhou Friendship Society, was investigated by the RCMP for vote buying, but no charges were recommended before the October 20th vote. One of the candidates the society endorsed was Hong Guo, a real estate and immigration lawyer who was hoping to upset Malcolm Brody. Guo, however, was cited before the election for professional misconduct by the BC Law Society. During the election, she sat down with me for a stunning interview after an all-candidates meeting. During some questions about the topic of trade with China, Guo said that her native country has no human rights problem.
What's your message? Because there's a lot of concern in Richmond. You do want to build bridges between Richmond and China. There's people in the Hong Kong community, the Taiwanese community, people that are concerned about human rights that say that maybe Canada already has close enough ties with China, and China has some very serious problems when it comes to human rights. Lack of freedom of press, for instance.
I don't think so. I do not agree.
Why don't you agree?
I think China has a lot of freedom of speech. Yes.
China has lots of freedom? You're on the record saying that?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Journalists are in jail in China.
Did you?
People that do my work are in jail in China. How do you say that?
I don't believe it.
You don't believe that people who are journalists...
I don't believe it.
You don't believe what Human Rights Watch says, what Amnesty International says?
No. No.
You don't believe what independent groups say about journalists who get jailed in China?
I don't believe it. Yeah.
Why don't you believe that?
Because I know so many people in China, and I have never heard about this.
You've never heard about journalists being jailed in China?
Yeah, never.
Really?
Yeah. You have never been in China, I guess. There's a lot of, that's why.
I can show you my passport.
Yeah, that's why.
I've traveled extensively in China.
Yeah, that's why I want to be bridge. There's so much misunderstanding.
In June, the occasion was the 29th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre. I spoke with Vancouver human rights activist Fenella Sun. She's a former reporter from Hong Kong, and she is also part of the local chapter of Friends of Hong Kong, which is concerned about Canada's business ties with China. In a surprise move, the federal government rejected the takeover of Aecon Construction by a Chinese state-owned construction giant.
And we had this talk about the free trade agreement with China to open up furthermore about our significant or even strategic sectors to the China market for their investments to come in. I think we really have to look at who they are, their nature, instead of just what they do or what they say, because there are many, really many facets about China that we don't know. So I'm not saying that about contain China, so to speak, or not to engage with them at all, because it's a reality that is a superpower, that no matter how we do things, we still have to engage it. But in what way? I think we have to be very prudent and wise, and also we have to take it one thing at a time. We have to always bear in mind that there are many things about China that we don't know, so better find out more before we make those kind of strategic moves.
A crisis for mega events as Western Canada said no to two of them. In March, FIFA walked away from British Columbia when the NDP government wanted to negotiate a better deal for BC Place Stadium to be part of the united bid for the 2026 World Cup. Premier John Horgan said he would not give the scandal-ridden FIFA a blank check for the chance to host three early tournament games in 2026. Chicago, Minneapolis, and Glendale, Arizona felt the same way. The Alberta government withdrew its support for Edmonton's bid. FIFA eventually did choose the joint U.S., Mexico, and Canada bid over Morocco. In March, I spoke with Andrew Jennings, the British investigative journalist known for exposing FIFA and Olympic corruption.
I am a little surprised, but very gratified. At last, you're thinking of spending money on your schools. You know, it's just about anything that's a useful social expenditure than this bonanza of, as they say, of, well, you just sign up here and we'll decide later how much it's going to cost. And by the way, we could go into it. The ticket is a racket anyway. Don't be at all sure you're ever going to get a ticket for it, because that's locked up through friends of FIFA. Really, they don't learn, do they? They've been through all this. They're pretending to have changed. All this a scandal of the last 2 years, and the FBI particularly. And I'll come back on that, because that by no means over. But they don't sort of learn. They give themselves. Well, we've got a new ruling council. We've got some fresh faces on it, and we don't pay any attention to it. But you just pay the money. That'll be all right. And you've got ages, years and years and years to try and get it back. And I'm very pleased that after what I think was a very foolish decision to entertain the IOC for 2010, you've grown a lot more sensible and said thanks, but no thanks. You know, move on. We're busy. Let's look at what's going on at FIFA. They're still in the middle of a huge criminal investigation.
In November, 56% of Calgary voters rejected the city's bid for the 2026 Winter Olympics, a shock to the International Olympic Committee, which wanted to return to the 1988 host city and reuse many of those venues. That left Milan, Italy, and Stockholm, Sweden in the running for 2026. The winner will be chosen on June 23, 2019. In late June, Vancouver hosted the 93rd annual Western Economic Association International Conference. I spoke with sports economist Victor Matheson of the College of the Holy Cross about the business of mega events.
Both the Olympics and FIFA, who they really make rich is the IOC and FIFA, right? You know, there's about $4 billion on every four-year cycle in FIFA, and that money doesn't get pocketed by the local organizers. That's FIFA's money, which they share a very, very tiny bit with the host country. Same thing with the IOC. IOC, again, about $4, $5, $6 billion amount of money being made over the 4-year cycle, and about maybe a third of that is shared with the local hosts to help defray costs. And of course, that doesn't come anywhere close to what it costs to actually host these events.
In March, the business and technology world was rocked with the bombshell revelation of the Cambridge Analytica and Facebook data breach. Millions of people canceled their Facebook accounts in protest. The world was introduced to whistleblower Christopher Wiley, a data scientist from Victoria, BC, who was instrumental in the founding of Cambridge Analytica. Wiley also exposed dirty secrets of a Victoria company called Aggregate IQ, which had worked on the Brexit campaign in the UK and for the US Republican Party. Aggregate IQ's domestic clients included BC Liberals Todd Stone and Mike Dionne. Authorities in the UK, Canada, and US continue to investigate. Expect their reports in 2019. In September, Wiley came home to BC, and he appeared at a tech investment conference in Vancouver.
One of the perverse things about Facebook, like, they always call themselves a community, but like it's not, because you can't actually see what's happening. So, you know, inherent in like a community, right, like what we're doing here, you've got a platform, somebody talks, everybody understands and hears what that person is saying. If that's bullshit, someone can call me out. Like, if I'm a candidate, right, and I say something, I lie, right? Like, you know, news shock, lying happens all the time in politics, but the difference is that the media can call me out, or an opposition candidate can call me out, or civil society, or the members of the public can call me out. And also, that community has a shared understanding and a common understanding of what's actually being said, right? But the difference about what's happening on Facebook or other social platforms is, rather than me just speaking in public in a public forum, I can go to each and every single one of you and I can whisper in your ear something. And I can whisper in your ear something with the benefit of having followed you around months on end, read your conversations, listened in to what you say, what you're interested in, what you watch, what you listen to, and know exactly the types of things that you connect with and you don't connect with. But I can also do it invisibly. So no one in this community actually even sees me going around whispering into people's ears. And also, I may not look like who I actually am. So you don't even know sometimes that someone is whispering something into your ear. And when you think about the effects on our democracy, right, it degrades or eviscerates the public forum, the public nature. This quote-unquote community that Facebook has created is actually the degradation of our public forum.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo bar, courtesy of Spruce Hill Contracting, to people who make a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to you. Yes, you. Thank you for sharing your time with me by reading the Breaker.News and listening to the Breaker.News podcast. Tell your friends, tell your relatives. With your help and with theirs, someday I want to buy every one of you a real, tasty Nanaimo bar. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Go to sprucehill.ca for more information. Well, that's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of December 30th, 2018. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on December 30th in 1916, Grigory Rasputin, the mysterious aide to the Tsar of Russia, was murdered in Moscow? And in 1993, Israel opened diplomatic relations with the Vatican City and reached full diplomacy with Ireland. Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. Thanks to those who have donated $10 or more on Patreon, such as Barbara May, Daryl Greer, Elvio Kiez, James Plett, John Kennedy, Mondi Redman, Quan Lee, Randy Sogstad, and Spruce Hill Contracting. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. That's patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week, Happy New Year.
cup of kindness yet for all that time. Should all princes be forgotten, they'll come back to reign. Should all princes be forgotten,